Pickaxe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's do that thing where we go around the table and introduce ourselves. I'm Brianna. I am the Dungeon Master. Let's go around the table, starting with Jamie.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I today will be playing Elwyn, or Winnie, the Elven Druid.
And Ryan.
Hello there, my name's Ryan, and today I'll be playing Grimby Hammerhills, the Beardless Dwarf.
And Xavier.
Hello, I'm Xavier, and I will be playing Flinster Stillwater, the Halfling Cleric.
And Kelsey.
I'm Kelsey, and I will be playing Anavriel, the Eladrin Wizard.
Beautiful. So this is the third time I'm DMing as an adult and the second time I'm DMing for the show. And the first time I'm taking it like super serial. So I'm going to do my best. I'm learning, but I have a really good crew here. So I'm very excited to play with you guys.
I like the little head bob you did when you did the let's do the thing. I think that was a nice touch.
Thank you. All right, so let's jump right into it. So the setup for this, to tell the listeners, is essentially that you are four young adults, for the most part, ranging in age, in Esterholt, who have been staying in the notable places. I want to say it exactly correctly. Esterholt Shelter for Children. It's a pretty simple thing to remember, but the Esterholt Shelter for Children, which is something that started up like right after the war, essentially, because the whole town was filled with orphans and children who just needed a place to go, and that's where you guys ended up. But over time, it turned out that, you know, for one reason or another, you didn't really fit in there, or you needed more, essentially. You needed more to help you through. So some of you have actually kind of aged out of the system, too. So that's another part of the problem. I think we're going to get started with you guys all basically knowing that you're going somewhere new. That you're going to a place called Jadzia's Academy for Valiant Adolescents. And you've never heard of it until you were told that that's where you were going to go. And
nice.
Today is the day that you're packing up and leaving. So before we go, do you guys want to describe maybe a little bit about your bunks in the Esterholt home? Because unfortunately, there's not enough room for everyone to have their own room. It's mostly just like big rooms with multiple beds, but you're free to do whatever you want with your little area of your room. So as you're packing up, what are you guys packing up? Like, what sort of memorabilia do you have?
I would say that Winnie's bunk probably, out of all of the bunks in what I assume they're in, like rows, mm-hmm. in like a hall sort of situation, oh, yeah. where it's just rows upon rows of beds, you know, lots of orphan kids. her bed would probably be in pristine condition. Absolutely pristine. Tucked corners. Not a wrinkle to be seen, and neither is she, because she's never there. She doesn't sleep in her bed. She has a nest upon the roof of the building that she has made for herself. And that is where she resides with all of her things. And as she's packing up her stuff and her memorabilia, she doesn't have a lot of belongings, but she is going to take her favorite stick. She's going to pack, you know, her bedroll and down feather pillows, and is going to bring along all sorts of nibbly treats for her fuzzy, furry friends. She has all sorts of treats and nibblets and nuts that she feeds to squirrels and birds and things like that. So that's pretty much all that she really has that she cares about. And that's what she's doing.
What about her screaming baby? Is her screaming baby okay?
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Yeah. I was really hoping that you wouldn't
be
able to hear her.
Super cool. You're playing it real cool. It's okay. We acknowledged it.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
By nest on the roof, like...
Mm-hmm.
What kind of structure are we talking about? Yeah, like, is it like a lean-to thing?
Does I'm imagining she, like, that like... she did not get permission to do this, first of all.
No, definitely okay. not. It's probably in a crack or crevice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that many people know that she's up there. I mean, they probably have seen her upon the roof, but they don't know that that is her nesting spot. I would say it probably...
They've probably almost certainly noticed that you're not in your bed.
Yeah.
So they then would track you down, and maybe they've told you off a few times, but it just doesn't take, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's like you would expect a nest to be, you know, like maybe a mixture of like sticks and twigs and wraps that she finds on the streets, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So are you taking your net, like disassembling your nest, or making a new nest?
Where are I'm going? Not, no, we're leaving the nest. The nest is going to stay. Hopefully it will be of use to some other critters.
The baby learn to drive?
Yeah, what is that?
That was pretty wild.
I live in the country. I'm sorry.
You want to repeat that last part?
What I say? We're leaving the nest behind.
We're leaving the nest behind.
Yes, we're leaving the nest behind. Hopefully it will be of use to some other critters.
All right.
That's the metaphor.
No. Oh my god, how funny would it be if now there's an infestation of like squirrels in the orphanage?
All right, who'd like to go next?
I'll go. I don't know if the bunk situation allows for top bunks, but if there are top bunks, Flintstar would have a top bunk for sure. And I'm thinking he's not a hoarder, like that's not a character trait for him, but he doesn't have drawer space to put all his stuff in, and he's got just like knickknacks of all sorts, especially like mostly stuff that makes noise or like. I have very bright colors. Like he's got tons of clothes, or like old clothes maybe, or like clothes that he's grown out of, or like he wears in like a bunch of like mismatched clothing all the time. It's very like colorful, or like you know like that kind of like that artist kid in school or whatever. Like he's making a style for himself, and he'll be packing like a lot of those little. Knickknacks in a big bag, and just like, he doesn't care much for them. He just wants to have them with him, and he's carrying with him like as he's packing his bags. There's this kind of like huge, almost like boat-shaped—not huge, but like almost boat-shaped apparatus. That's strange for someone who's never seen it, but for people who know Flintstar, they've seen him like put strings in there and like. Take care of this musical instrument. It's a hurdy-gurdy that he plays
yes.
constantly.
Fantastic.
And he makes all sort of weird like prog rock riffs with it and like goes into some weird like jazz fusion rhythms and like stuff that kind of irritates probably. And he had like Yeah, that's what he gets most out of, is, you know, making sure everybody hears it.
You've killed Ryan. It's...
Yeah. The first two of you are definitely getting kicked out more so than, like...
It's not probably out, a relief.
Yeah, but there's a relief to it. It's like, oh, so thank goodness.
Is Flinster inventing hurdy-gurdy frog rock in Theria? Is that
We'll have to find out. I haven't seen hurdy-gurdy prog rock before.
Roll for hurdy-gurdy prog rock. Give me a flat d20. All right. Ryan or Kelsey, which one of you wants to go next?
I mean, I have to rewrite everything after hurdy-gurdy prog rock. I'm sorry.
All right.
So, Anavriel is... They don't have like that many things as far as like personal belongings. They have like a few, you know, like clothes, some like basic like necessities and stuff, and then like the other like 90% of what they're packing is just books. Like, it's just a lot, like kind of like a mix between like notebooks and like stuff that they've like taking notes and journaling themselves, versus like a lot of like research books on magic and everything, and a few like kind of like history like primers almost like thrown in there. It's like and a lot like just, yeah, it's just like a lot of that. Their bunk that they're leaving behind, like, it's like, I mean, since they're like leaving it, like, they've probably like, I guess we probably like stripped the bed or something so like they can like wash the sheets and stuff, but it's just, it's a little bit like haphazard. Like, they're not really like too concerned about like how like nice and neat everything is. They're sort of just focused on like cramming like the last like book they can find like in their bag to carry, which are probably a bit too heavy to be reasonable, but you know, they're making do.
And last but not least, Mr. Grimby.
Well, he grabs his hurdy-gurdy. Damn.
Should have gone first.
That one was taken. He mostly has clothes, and a lot of his clothes are mostly just kind of comfortable, like issued from the orphanage. So, you know, it's got a few things. It looks maybe like he's packing a blanket or something. And other than that, he doesn't have a lot of what you would call traditionally personal effects. He's packing away a lot of what looks almost like just little notes that, you know, like if there was anything that said, you know, hey, would you take care of this? Would you do this thing? Hey, you need to be there at this time. He kept all of those like a note he would have received from a friend almost. As kind of like personal effects, and other than that, just kind of like weird little memories that he gathered, like here's a fork that he probably shouldn't have taken, but it reminded him of one of his favorite meals. That's fantastic. A lot of sort of thing he would have grabbed.
So he's just like, anything that's ever mattered to me in this small little backpack. Yeah. It's my stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the stuff that came from before here is not stuff that he would have necessarily kept that he would have had available.
All right.
Not sure that sort of made sense, but it's on the
one. I got it.
Okay.
So while you're packing things up, Grimby, I think a familiar presence is going to come in. Her name is Harley Kirk, and you know her as the human who runs the whole shelter. And she's going to be rather prim and proper, and she's going to approach you and probably ask, like, how are you doing? Do you have everything?
Well, yes, Miss Kirk, I think so. Yeah.
And she's going to look awkward for a moment. And then she's just going to very, like, gently sit down on your bed and, like, tap the bed next to her. Just to, like, come sit down.
Oh, all right. And he moves over and sits down next to her rather awkwardly.
Yeah. So she's like a human woman, so she's probably a bit taller than you when you guys are sitting down, given your dwarfness. But she'll smile down at you and say, "We're going to miss you here. You know that, right?"
I'll miss you too quite a bit, ma'am. Miss Kirk, you guys have been a lot, and I know y'all need this space for all the for any other kids coming in, and I know you're gonna mean the world to them too. But well, shoot, it feels like leaving home.
And she'll kind of, like, her smile will tighten a little bit, and she'll reach over and give your hand a little squeeze. You know this isn't a punishment, right, Grimby?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
We really think you're going to be able to help with this new endeavor, and you can always come visit. You'll still be in Esterholt, and we'll still be here for you.
Yeah, and I guess everybody's gotta get out and start doing their own thing at some point anyway. But it's fine. I'll swing by on the holidays, if nothing else, and maybe on the weekends just to kind of check in or stop by for dinner. So, you know what? One of these days I'll invite you over for dinner, and it'll be the best darn dinner you ever had. You just wait.
She'll just, like, big smile and nod and be like, "You're always welcome here. Thank you. I can't wait to see you again.
I'll miss you so much."
"I'll miss you too." And then she'll stand up and she'll kind of, like, offer, like, if you want a hug.
Oh, there's people that go in to politely hug, and those are very nice hugs. But to him, it's almost like he's grabbing on to get air in his lungs.
And while he's hugging her, like, as tight as he can, she'll be, like, patting him on the back and being like, "You're a good boy, Grimby. We know that you're going to be able to help these other students that you're going with, and you're going to do good things."
I mean, I'll try. Thank you.
Good. Of course. All right. Well, I believe Mr. Page is downstairs waiting for everyone. I'll go find Winnie. And do you think you could grab Flynn and Anna for me?
Yeah, I think I can get them.
Okay. So I guess we'll start with Winnie.
okay. Yeah.
And I'm trying to imagine this. By the way, with the bunk bed situation, I imagine none of the beds really match. So, like, the bunk bed thing mm-hmm. makes a complete sense. It's basically a lot of, "Hey, do you have a bed? We need beds." And they just took any beds that were offered. So they were probably bunk mm-hmm. beds.
Yeah. Yep.
And the same, like, that's kind of how the entire Esterholt home is decorated, is essentially, like, everything we need. It doesn't matter if it matches. So she's heading upstairs to try to reach the roof. I imagine there's probably, like, two stories, and maybe Winnie is, like, do you think she'd be on the top or the middle story?
Roof. Tippy top.
Tippy top. So she'll, like, flow open the windows and then tap on the banister above the window.
And you just hear from above a squeaky adolescent.
"Winnie." So this is par for the course for the most part. It's like,
yes.
So how food motivated would you say Winnie is?
What time of day is it?
I think that you guys probably haven't had breakfast yet. Like, it's early enough.
Then yes, because breakfast is definitely Winnie's favorite food.
Good. "Winnie, I heard there's going to be breakfast ready for you at the new school."
Is everything okay?
Is your husband murdering your child?
No, she's just finding her voice, Kelsey, I promise.
She found it. Like, she found it.
We all found it.
It's all day.
Ooh, this is getting fun for me.
Your weird nose.
Yeah, I was going to say, Riri, are you sure you still want it?
Oh man, I wonder if I can just get the money back for that ticket.
Because the fun part is when they start running and yelling on you. Back and forth in the corridor.
Little stompy feet.
Yeah. Oh god, she's crawling but not walking yet.
And then you get to
crawling.
They're not making any noise at all. What are they up to? That's coming.
Yeah, something is wrong.
Oh yeah.
That's true.
It's like, oh, there goes all of this fridge item.
It's like, it's been quiet for too long.
She might fall asleep soonish.
Yeah, I'm just going to really quickly go see what's just...
Totally, yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
One sec.
Have at it. It legit sounds like Julia's just picking her up and like spinning her around in a circle or something. Like...
That was my big problem in the earlier days of our first kid, where like when it was bedtime and I would change the diaper, I'm just like just having so much fun with him, I would just like hype him up and he'd be super excited, right, and not want to go to bed. I'm like, oh sorry,
I did that with
Mode.
The dogs, I get it,
put him to bed.
I do that to Luna all the time. I like to really hype her up right before bed so she does the zoomies.
Oh no.
Elle and Jason don't like that, but I think it's fun, so.
Yeah, do you have Xavier as a baby hype man for some reason, just as it fits perfectly?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh.
So.
Nope. Oh.
Either it's muting or it worked.
I think she's muted. So we'll see.
She's
hello.
Back.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Are you on a bouncy ball?
Yes, I'm on a yoga ball.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm on a yoga ball. That sounds fun.
I used it to try to induce my labor, but it didn't work.
Mm. But now it's a fun bouncy ball that you get to sit on.
It's a fun bouncy ball.
Yeah. So. Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm going to just jump from where we left off. And at the mention of breakfast, you're going to see a mud-covered foot just fall down from the window and sort of like hang over the edge in a slump. Like, well, what are they having?
Oh, I don't know yet, but I know that they have a groundskeeper that's making it special.
And another foot just falls.
Do you want some help into the window?
I'm not going to use sheets.
You don't have to use sheets. Like, this is a very resigned conversation. Like, she's used to this. Like, yep.
Yeah.
I know.
Then Winnie's going to slowly sort of almost slither into the window. just scooping their legs through the hole that once dangled, and is going to sort of just like fall and hop and look up at Harley, or Miss Harley, and just say, I just don't see what I did wrong. I don't get why you're kicking me out.
I think that Harley would kind of like give a small sigh and like nod her head like she understands. And then
she's looking at you very matter-of-factly. She's like reading you.
I'm being read by this fucking middle schooler.
Tween.
By this tween. You haven't done anything wrong, Winnie. I promise. You just... And then she's going to kind of look out the window, and then all the muddy footprints that lead to where Winnie is currently standing We think that you need special attention. Does that make sense?
You could just say you can't handle me.
We can't handle you.
And Winnie's gonna sort of chuckle and like give a little smirk, and turn to head out, I suppose, with her stick in hand.
Okay. All right.
And time.
Perfect. We got it in.
Gosh, I love that.
So, who would Grimby go to see first? Flinster or Anavriel, I swear.
Honestly, it would be Anavriel is probably in a lot of ways a little bit easier to find because they, if I remember correctly, kind of like to just chill.
Yeah. Like, I think like at this point they're probably like pretty much all the way packed, but then like they like as they were like putting away the last little bit of their stuff, they like started looking at like one of the books they're putting up and just kind of started reading it. And so now they're just sort of sitting next to their like almost packed bags, just like
that's what happens to me every time I try to clean my room. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I get it. I get that.
Man, I have a slinky.
If I can add just a detail to that picture, as Grimby like shows up near Anna's quarters, I would say like within that field of view would be Flintstar's bunk as well. He's not there. He's not at his bunk.
Is his stuff also gone too? Like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. So he's just
somewhere.
You know, it surprises me that Flinster didn't just like take the sheet and like fold it up around all of his things and fling it over his shoulder.
Well, I'm not gonna say no to that idea. That's yeah, thank you.
The most chaotic way of doing anything feels like his vibe.
I feel like you get Flinster. Yeah.
Good. Oh man, you all have such good characters. I can already see them.
Good start.
Excellent. Anna. They want us to head down. I'm supposed to find you and Flynn. You seen where he went?
It takes Anna a second to kind of like look up from their book, and then they just kind of like they have like the like really like thick like voluminous like dark silver hair that just kind of like blow out of their like face kind of because it just when they were reading just kind of like fell down in front, and but then just kind of look at Grimsby like and take a second to process the words. And then they look over to Monster's empty bunk. Just last time I saw he was putting his stuff away, so no. Do you need help looking for him?
I think I probably do. Do you need a hand with getting the last couple things put away real quick before we go looking?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. They kind of close the book that they're reading and sort of shove it away. And then, yeah, your help will be very much taken because you have a much higher strength score than I do. So
is that one of your magic books?
Yes, it's one of the first ones I got when I first came here. I hadn't looked at it in a while, and you know, thinking about coming and going, and it is nice that they provided all of this.
Yeah. I tried to look at one of those magic books once, and like it was all swirly, Is that the word? Like,
oh yeah, there are lots of swirls in there. It's a different circles and patterns. It's kind of similar to like a math formula, but for magic sometimes it's.
Yeah, and it made my head think that it was tasting the color blue, and that got really uncomfortable and had to stop looking.
Oh, that's not usually the intended effect. That someone might have put a bad charm in there or something.
Oh man, I can't be doing that. But this one didn't do that to you.
No, I haven't run into that one before.
Well, you know what? We can talk about your books in a little bit. There's somebody already waiting on us, I think, Ms. Kirk said.
Yes. We need to get our stuff to the front and then find our... Did Ms. Kirk already go after Winnie? Okay, that's one taken care of.
Yeah, I don't hear anything too loud coming from up there, so it must be turning out all right. let's get you packed and go see if we can't find where Flynn went.
All right. Where did Flynn went?
I'm not sure.
I didn't plan this far ahead.
He's just wandering the aisles and the corridors or whatever like spaces connect the rooms here. I don't know how close to us. I guess this is not the school yet, but I'm just picturing he's not in any particular room, but he's probably kind of like taking in the space, because he's like, I'm leaving. Like, it's been nice here. I've been here. Like, it feels like I've been here half my life. Oh wait, that's exactly how long I've been here. And he like, I get, maybe his hands are dirty a bit, and he's kind of just like brushing the walls as he walks. He kind of leaves like a little trail of, I don't know, like what, soot. Maybe just a little trail of soot. I don't know why he'd have some soot on his fingers. And then like he takes something from the wall as a souvenir, maybe. Like a ladle. He goes by the kitchen, takes a ladle. So I think Flinster would be wandering the corridors in between the spaces. Not with any destination in mind, just taking in the space, remembering, reminiscing. And he's talking to himself like, there's so much history here. Almost as if I've spent my half my life here, which I did, I guess. And then he brushes his fingers on the walls as he walks. And then like maybe knocking some stuff down, some flyers on the wall, like, and then he'll pick up something as he passes by the kitchen. He'll pick up a ladle or something and keep it as a souvenir, and eventually he'll just bump into Anna and Grimby.
I think it's literally bumped into, like, this is like
turning the corner.
Like it's like turning the corner and just like bump into each other and just, oh, there you are.
We're looking for me, are you?
Miss Kirk said we should get down there and meet the person that we are supposed to be meeting.
So soon. I could have spent the whole afternoon walking around here.
Yeah, but she's getting Winnie now, and if we don't get down there when she gets Winnie down there, she ain't getting all of us together at all, probably.
All right, okay. Did Miss Kirk mention anything about the big pumpkin I hid?
The big what?
Nothing.
Why would you hide a pumpkin?
Long story, but do I need a reason, really?
I mean, you're hot.
Let's go.
It's like your version of a senior prank.
Yeah.
Just looks at Grimsy, just like does she understand like the pumpkin things? They are just.
I feel like there's a lot of context that is not, and because the context isn't, then we can't know what it is.
Okay. Oh well.
Well, for one thing, I forgot where I put it. So, if she finds it, I'd like she can let me know. All right, off we go. And he takes his big Benchy duffel bag on his shoulder. It's just like something breaks and it clang. And yeah, he walks with you.
I would figure every time you do that, it hurts really bad when it hits you in the back, but you seem like you're doing all right.
Can't complain.
Huh?
All right. So I think you will all be meeting kind of downstairs with Harley and Winnie. And there's also an older gentleman here that you guys kind of recognize as like an administrator. He was a teacher for a bit, so the older of you who actually attended classes might recognize him. How about let's try a roll. How about you all give me a something check?
I don't have that one.
Yeah. Okay, how about a they don't have streetwise. I forgot. What's the standard for streetwise? Insight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone give me an insight check.
I'll do insight.
Yeah. I miss streetwise.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Thank goodness Sanabriel's here.
Yeah, that's a print. I know everything about the streets. I know what kind of stones they use to pave them. All of that.
I know nothing of the streets.
So Anna definitely has the firmest grasp over who this person is. And they know that this is Mr. Page, who is kind of like a jack of all hands around the city, but recently has taken the place of one of the trio of the Council of Grace. You know that there was kind of a shift in power in that Seraph left the city, and now Mr. Page kind of has filled that role as far as community outreach goes and as far as like helping with the school goes. But before that, he was a teacher. So even if you barely remember him, it makes sense. Winnie probably never even met him.
Yes,
they can't get her into a bed, definitely. So I doubt they could get her into a classroom. But
yeah, and she's young.
Yeah. So I don't even know. Xavier, I guess that would be on you. Like, what was his specialty as far as teaching?
A good question. He would
etiquette.
I mean kind of like a bunch of probably that kind of like what's it called, home economics. That kind of like,
aww.
Maybe it was like lords and ladies and
stuff that would help you basically like get ready to something similar to this, like to get out of the shelter for kids. Right. So a bunch of like manners, but also like proper
like folk,
how to make your taxes.
Anna will kind of have a feeling, like, you don't know how you know this, but you're pretty sure this school that you're going to was mostly Mr. Page's idea, or at least he's the one who kind of put everything together for it. So
okay,
you think that that's pretty much what you can expect is what Mr. Page has to offer you. So Harley will come down and be bringing Winnie with her. And as soon as she sees Mr. Page, she'll kind of smile. How do you do, sir?
Miss Kirk, it's a pleasure to see you again. It has been a while. Forgive me if I've been so busy lately. I should have made some more time to come and visit, but... Well,
taking on a new role is always a challenge, as you might know.
I'm sure you've been very, very busy. And we're very grateful for you for helping us situate some of our students here. And as she says that, she's going to look down to Winnie, who I just imagine is like scratching the lice in her hair or something.
Fuskirk was like talking to Mr. Page, it's like Anavriel was kind of like surreptitiously kind of like cast a prestidigitation to at least get like the mud off, just sort of like because they know it's like, oh, Mr. Page is like the etiquette guy. It's like, well, Wendy's probably not gonna do too great with him, but we can at least maybe sort of make it less bad.
And as so you're doing that as you're doing that, Winnie is rolling her eyes, picking her nose.
if Anna was to make an insight check on Mr. Page, Mr. Page noticed that prestidigitation, and he just gently closes his eyes, smiles, and kind of like nods to himself.
Moment. It's also like, don't want it, because then at least Miss Kirk doesn't have to clean up the mud off the carpet. It's, you know, trying to.
Yeah.
Jamie, I think your camera might have come unfocused, and right now you're just a floating pair of eyelashes.
That's pretty good.
You're suddenly a ghost.
Oh, well, that's
oh, there we
Jamie
go. Hello. Oh, you're back. There we go. Okay. That was terrifying. All right, then.
Sorry.
I think I've seen that Doctor Who.
Right. So, Harley will probably introduce you all to Mr. Page and then sort of give you all a bow and like, okay, you guys are on your way. I see big, wonderful things in all of your futures, and you'll always have a home here. Don't forget that.
Big, and yes, wonderful. But thank you very much for everything that you've done.
Of course. She'll probably like try to like straighten all their clothes as she's like walking by, like checking them all, just making sure they're okay, because she has kind of that like motherly vibe to her where she just wants you all to be like safe. And I don't know if like when she goes to do it to Winnie, if Winnie immediately messes it up on purpose after.
Definitely immediately messes it up on purpose after. And as they're walking through the threshold of leaving the building, and they're like tousling their hair back to make it back to unkempt, they're going to point up at Harley and say, "Don't let anyone mess with my rock collection," and is going to walk away.
She's going to look confused for a moment because she does not know where your rock collection is.
It is everywhere.
No one is allowed to touch any of the rocks throughout the house.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yeah.
They're with the pumpkin.
You open the kitchen cabinet, just yeah. Rocks.
Not even like special or cool rocks, just all rocks. The ones. No.
They yeah. spoke to me, you know, we were just chilling and they were like, take me home.
Honestly, I get it. Jason's seen me pick up some street rocks in the past.
It's like, hey man, that's just a cool rock. It needs to come home with me.
It's done nothing wrong.
Nope.
All right. So you guys are going to be leaving the shelter and, Mr. Page is going to probably, this is like within walking distance. So you guys are going to be headed towards the edge of town. And this would have been a great time for me to have the Esther Holt map loaded in the Esther Holt search results. But I did not. So
we'll just second. Wait really quick. The magic of editing. Da, 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 da,
yeah.
Da, da, yes.
Yeah, have like the Batman spin, but with the Esther Holt map.
Put the DNR logo.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be dope.
You can add the map and post.
Or with the logo for the campaign.
Ooh, for yeah. The Java. That's true. We need a crest.
Oh, I love it.
And a mascot.
We need a mascot. Yes. What do you think?
For an academy.
I vote for Winnie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I did select a file. It's that file. Okay. 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 Select file. Okay. All right. Okay. Save changes. Yes. Okay.
There we go.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then we activate the scene, and then we have to change the lighting so that you can actually see it. Pew, pew.
There we go.
Ooh, perfect.
You're welcome.
All right.
I'm almost there. Okay.
I'm almost there.
So the Esther Holt Home for or Shelter for Children is this large building over here, number six.
Number okay. six, okay.
So from here...
You can play along if you've got your own copy of the book.
Mm-hmm. You are going to be going north for a little bit until you reach this little cluster of homes right here.
Okay.
It's... And I'm not sure what you guys were really thinking when you heard that there was going to be an academy for valiant adolescents. It probably wasn't what Mr. Page opens the door to, is a bit of, well, roll a perception check, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are some teen rolls.
Did mine do it? No. Dang it.
16.
How about now?
Gabriel's carrying us so far. Oh, look at that.
There you go.
Nice. So Anna and Winnie are going to notice something immediately as you're being led into the school. And you can kind of tell by Mr. Page's, like, how he hurries you past it, that he was perhaps hoping... You wouldn't catch this, but there is a wooden sign in front of this new school, and it's called, and it says it's called the Sweet Siren Song, and there is a caricature of a buxom, beautiful woman posing. It's clearly an old sign, not old enough that you can't see the naked lady on it, though. So I imagine Mr. Page might have been standing in front of it.
Yeah, but... he quickly moves in front of it.
So it kind of makes sense that Winnie would be one of the ones to see it, because it would be immediately, oh, you're trying to hide something from me?
What's that?
Well, this is old management. We've been looking for a location for our academy, and well, Mayor Grimner's Grace has been most generous and gracious to offer us this vacant space for our temporary location. Hopefully, with a little help of a coating of paint and imagination, we can make this something a little more tasteful than it used to be.
Amalfriel doesn't say anything, but they just look like... They look, like, offended, kind of, like, not necessarily on their behalf, but just because, like, using, like, it's, like, the term academy means something to them.
Oh, you were, like, excited to come here, and then you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Y'all smell flowers, like, really strong, I think, flowers kind of everywhere.
I was told there was going to be breakfast.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, you are correct. We have a small garden, and breakfast should be ready about now. If we make it this way, I may direct you to the dining hall.
Unless there is no dining hall.
There. Okay, so as you enter... you'll notice, like, this is definitely smaller than the shelter, but that is to be expected. There's not hundreds of children here.
Yeah, that's
from the looks of things, it's starting with just the four of you. So as you enter, I think there'll be a woman waiting for you, an older tiefling woman. And she is... She is a tiefling version of Mr. Page in a lot of ways. Like, you could tell, like, she's wearing a corset. She's very tight, very prim and proper. She has her hair in a bun behind her, and she is waiting for you. And as soon as she sees you, she's just going to cough, like, clear her throat. Mr. Page, I thought we talked about that sign.
And what was the conclusion of our discussion again?
She's going to just sign. I'll tell Leroy to take it down, but we really do need a new sign.
Yes, on that we agree. We will find the right moment for it, and it shall be soon.
Thank you. Hello. You must be our first students. I did not expect such a... That one's very dirty. Did you notice how dirty that one is?
Is there food in this room?
No, but you can smell pancakes.
Bye. Winnie is out.
And bacon.
She's less dirty than she was originally.
Yeah.
I can attest to that.
My goodness. All right. Well, I will lead you to the kitchen, and we can have a nice breakfast. And Winnie's already gone.
Yeah.
But she'll fall into step with Mr. Page and kind of look over to him and be like, is this it for right now?
Yes, it'll take some time getting to know them well, so I think for the moment is probably best.
All right. Well, I know that Leroy is making breakfast, and I'm sure Emily and Gail are around here somewhere. I'll go gather them up. If you could make sure that one doesn't climb on the table while we're gone, and she will quickly leave the room. Guide you guys to the kitchen, and then and the kitchen is it's not a dining hall by any means, but it is like a nice roomy kitchen. There's a nice round table, and on the other side you see this big dude and he's attending to the bacon and pancakes. He does look to at least be half orc, maybe full orc. It's kind of hard to tell.
Nice.
And he does not look over at you. He is just focusing on the meal.
Is Winnie able to sneak some pancakes out from?
Yeah. Are they like, is this buffet style?
I imagine, like, so far, yes. Like, there's just a big plate of pancakes, a big plate of bacon, and he's just piling it up as he makes more and more. Probably a big plate of eggs as well.
Well, Winnie has a new best friend.
Yep. 100%. Winnie is going to get up on them pancakes and grab a stack about as big as she is and just plop herself in a corner and drench it in maple syrup. Drenched.
So it's worth noting that this kitchen looks like it was built for half orc to be in. So you have to reach up real high. Because I believe Winnie, you said, was 14?
Yes.
And an elf.
Mm-hmm.
So how tall would you say she is?
She's a shorty. I'd say she's probably 5 feet. We'll go with 5 feet.
5 feet?
Yeah.
So yeah, she's definitely going to have to reach up, because I'm betting that the counters start at around 4.5 feet.
Okay.
So
I like, so like Anavriel is like clearly the tallest of the group, and they're not like that tall compared to most people. It's just
that we're all tiny.
Yeah. So are you trying to be stealthy as you steal these pancakes? Or, okay. All right. So Leroy is going to kind of look at you and give a little grunt, but then just start making more pancakes.
Keep them coming.
Uh, I can't grunt like Jason does. He does such good grunts. I can't.
get him to do some Foley work.
There you go.
So, as Harley, I'm sorry, not Harley. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, I didn't give you her name. That's why it didn't come to me.
I was like, I forgot her name already.
So, Mr. Page would know this is Miss Jones, Miss Bethany Jones. Okay. But she did not introduce herself to the rest of you, so none of you know her name yet. Jason's really good at remembering that kind of stuff. I'm not.
Right. Yeah. It'll come. So, I mean,
yeah.
We didn't ask, you know?
No. Nobody asked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she'll kind of gesture to the table and then head out the door of the kitchen, which leads into a little garden area. And you can't really see much further than that. So she's just going to kind of disappear from view. What would you guys like to do? You're in this kitchen with a very, very large man. That sounds threatening. The phrase "very, very large man" is never really the way to go. I realize that now.
I mean, they exist.
They do exist. The very, very large men. So would you guys want to sit down? There are places set for you.
Flynn drops his bag just to the ground. It kind of spills because it was just a sheet, so it opens up and kind of spills, and he sits down probably in Winnie's place because Winnie's not there, and he'll just start taking the pancakes, probably trying to stack the pancakes in his plate, see how high it can go.
It's worth noting that the table is kind of average. Like, it's the average size for a table. That's not built for a half orc. So it looks like the kitchen and those utilities are, but this table you guys can sit at comfortably and not look silly. So
that's kind of cool. Yeah. The big contrast.
Yeah.
It's like Leroy out of focus in the back, just like much bigger than we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoa.
Thank you, Pippin.
I've never heard him do that.
There's just children screaming outside my window, and I swear to God, I'll be right back.
That explains. That's the reasonable reaction to that, I'd say. Good job, Pippin.
Get him.
Yeah, get him.
Kids, can't you see I'm trying to run a D&D campaign with kids?
Go get him.
All right, I closed the window, so that should help.
Okay. Good boy,
Pippin. You okay, buddy? I know.
So cute.
You did a good job.
Pippin's all like,
good job, Pippin.
You kids who are outside, I will show you who is the boss.
Good.
If you bark and make the noise outside my window one more time, I will be very fierce at you.
Okay, you got a very stinky face. I love you. Okay.
Yeah, while everyone is getting like breakfast stuff, like Anavriel like pretty like quickly sits down. They wear like kind of like wizardy like robes, like they have like large like long sleeves that like they actually like reach into. It has like hidden pockets everywhere. It's great. So they reach into one of their sleeves and they pull out like a little like a pocket notebook, and they just like start like writing something like down, like they're just like need to get like a few like notes down in like while people are getting food and stuff. They'll get to that later. It's not as important.
Hey, you didn't have that in your hand a minute ago. Did you use magic to make that appear?
No, it's the pockets and in the sleeves. It's wow. Very handy.
Wow, that's really clever. Wow. I need my sleeves probably aren't big enough for pockets.
Yeah, they do kind of. You have to learn how to move without them getting caught on things. It's a bit of a practice with that, but it's worth it in the long run.
Yeah, and what happens if you get a real bad itch on your nose and you got to pull your hand up real quick and buy a book on the nose? That's probably something you pick up real quick.
Yeah, it's, and you have to learn which ones to put things like books and stuff in, and that weren't going to accidentally whack you in the face. It's the when you're young, sort of getting used to learning magic and Odysseus, that's sort of you see a lot of the kids doing that. It's a ritual of sorts.
Wow, that's really cool. So anyway, so what's learning magic, Lark? He says with a big mouthful of pancakes.
And everyone just like squints at him. So sorry, I didn't. What were you asking?
Hold on. Sorry about that. So what's learning magic like? When you like do magic, like the first time, was it like? Well, like what is it?
It depends. I don't know how it's like for people here. I mean, where I'm from, at least how it used to be. You just, I mean, you knew, like, we were children are tested pretty early on, like we know if they have potential or not, and then you just sort of are, you just grew up with training, and eventually the training and learning, it turns into actually doing it.
So it's kind of like, it's almost for you, as far as you're concerned, it's like long as you remember, pretty much.
Yeah, it's just part of I've always been learning different magical patterns and stuff. I mean, it's been a bit different recently. Things are different now, but that's how it was at first, at least. It depends. There are a lot of different kinds of magic. For some people, like sorcery magic, it just happens all of a sudden without any sign or warning, or
sorcerer's magic is different.
Yes and no. There's a lot of different theories about what magic is and where it all comes from and what is actually a different branch of. I can, when we unpack everything, I can find a few books on that if you're interested.
Flinster kind of makes his stack of pancakes fall just in front of Grimby. It's like it spills over in your plate. It was a big tower. And he kind of leans over in the table and is like, oh, hey, Grimby, you can just worship one of them new gods. It works great.
What does that have to do with the pancakes that just fell on my plate?
No, magic. Has to do with magic.
Magic made the pancakes fall on my plate? Wow.
Yes. Yes, it did. You just pick one you like. See what happens.
I don't know anything about the new gods.
It's probably a god of magic.
There's probably a god of magic. Huh.
And Offriel, reminded that there is food and that they should probably eat, goes up and gets some food. Just like, oh, right. That's what we're in here to do.
So every time one of you has come up to take any food, there's been at least somewhat of a grunt of acknowledgement from this large orc man as he continues to make more pancakes. Because that's a hot item, apparently.
Doing God's work.
This is the best character we've ever had on the show.
What is really handy about the fact that it's just a giant fucking kitchen is that like the bowls are really big, so it's like this.
Big
it's
pancakes.
Not, they are bigger than usual pancakes. They much.
Yes.
They're wider. So after a few moments, Bethany is going to come back in, and she's going to have two other people with her. One young looking human, like maybe not young looking, like 29, like kind of maybe 30, like, and she is wearing robes. Could I get a perception check, actually?
Hell yeah. Ooh. Oh, that was my day. Nope.
Oh, no, Grimby.
I see 20. All.
Grimby does not roll hot.
Ooh. I don't think Winnie... So, Winnie definitely notices that these are nice robes. Like, they're embroidered, like, special. And I think she'd notice before... Anna did that, like, some of the embroidery on the robes matches up with the quote unquote swirlies that are in a lot of Anna's books. So,
nice,
very high quality. And she's leading in the smallest, wrinkliest halfling woman you've ever seen in your life. This woman is kind of hunched over. She has these big, big round pair of glasses on, but she's still squinting behind them. And she's holding on to this human woman's hand to steady her as she's walking into the room. So with that description, Bethany will approach the table and clear her throat. All right. We're going to have to set some ground rules, but this breakfast is supposed to be casual and fun. So I'll leave you to it. And she will leave the room.
I love the way she says casual and fun.
Casual and fun.
Oh, I love her.
The human woman that's left is going to kind of chuckle nervously and lead this older halfling to the table. I'm sorry about her. That's Mrs. Jones. She's a lovely woman once you get to know her. She's just... Anyway, my name is Emily, and I'm going to be one of your teachers here. This is my great-grandmother, Gail. And the old woman's going to go, eh?
This is your fourth teacher.
Yes, she will also be one of your teachers. Gail has a wealth of knowledge that she's amassed over many, many years. Grandmother, would you like to introduce yourself at all? And Gail is already like grabbing a stack of pancakes from the center of the table and pulling them in.
Gail, right, what's up?
She's part of the cool kids.
Mm-hmm. She's going to start, like, she's going to stop with the fork, like, halfway to her mouth and be like, eh. Right. These are the violent ones, right? And then Emily is going to say, no, valiant adolescence. Oh, all right. Well, as long as you don't gang up on me or anything, I think we'll all get along just fine.
Flinsters is like, no, under his breath, like, no promises.
Emily's going to sit down and kind of smile at the group and then turn to Winnie. Young lady, would you like to sit at the table with the rest of us?
Winnie is currently licking her plate.
Jesus Christ, did she actually eat all of those pancakes?
Yeah.
Can she move? Is she okay?
She's fine. She's fine. She's got her plate up against her face and she's like licking it clean. And is just going to growl. It's just going to look up from this plate and go,
Oh. Emily is going to look to Mr. Page. Like,
yeah, Mr. Page kind of raises his eyebrow to Emily. Like, casual and fun, yes. Master Elwin, you can stay in the corner there as long as you listen. But it's fine. You can stay where you are.
And she begins to lick her plate once more.
Gail is going to lean over and like nudge Emily with her little tiny elbow. I like that one. She's weird. So they're probably just going to like let you guys finish breakfast before they start having any big conversations. But they would like to get to know you better. So while you're eating, Emily would probably be trying to start up small talk. Like, okay, so what have you been doing for... Oh, that one's still in the corner. She's very smelly. But like, I think realistically speaking, you got a 12. So I think eventually Anna would catch on that these are Umaniero robes. These are robes that you wouldn't get unless you studied in Umaniero. So at the very least, you can tell that this is someone who is knowledgeable in something.
Which they're not like super familiar with Umaniero, so I think that's totally
right,
fair.
And that's probably why they didn't. So, but they recognize like magic shit. All right.
Oh, they're definitely like taking like notes so to look up later what the different like runes are and stuff on the like.
I like that. Like they're not gonna ask. Like no,
not yet. It's wait and see, and then see.
So after we're done here, I can show you to your rooms. It does seem like you're each going to be able to get your own room, which is quite nice, don't you think?
Oh, that is quite a relief.
Can I still bunk with Grimby, though?
I think I might have to ask Mrs. Jones that. Are you
please
two...
Ask.
And like she's stumbling, and then eventually she just kind of drops it because she doesn't know how to ask.
What is Grimsey like? Does he react?
It's like, yeah, we're bunkmates. Obviously, we're gonna.
He looks. It's more of a look on his face than an actual. A little bit of stunned, a little bit of surprised, a little bit of relieved, a little bit of uncomfortable. It's a lot of different stages go across his face. As insightful as you've proven so far, you could probably tell on one hand he's actually, yes, definitely super relieved and actually a little bit frustrated. It's like, finally, I would have got privacy for the first time in literally forever. But also, oh no, I would have been by myself.
God. Thinking my own thoughts? Oh, yeah. Don't let that happen.
Right, so it's really, really kind of complicated.
So after dinner is all over, I think for a moment, Emily is going to excuse herself to go get Miss Jones. It's supposed to be Miss Jones. I keep saying Mrs. Jones. Ignore that. It's Miss Jones.
Miss
I think it's because of the song. Yes, I think it's because of the song. I should have thought about that. I didn't say her name out loud.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. So now every time I want to say it's trying to get to the song. Maybe she was married once. I don't know.
She's a widow. Right. There, yeah. Fixed it.
I rewrote her whole backstory. She's Mrs. Now. So when Gail is left alone with the group, she's going to kind of like squint at all three of you, or all four of you, like, just checking you all out. And eventually she's gonna be like, are you all kids? That one looks really young. And she's pointing to Winnie, of course. Are my eyes playing tricks on me? Aren't you supposed to be like, Violet? What are you doing here?
Who are you?
I don't know you. That's my purse. She's coming off a bit more pithy than I was hoping. I'm going to have to work on her voice.
I was going to say it. That was the voice I was getting.
Oh,
I don't know you. Where's my purse? Thank you so much. <Go
ahead. laughs> Yeah, we just came up from the orphanage, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's so your parents are dead. That's too bad. My parents have been dead for a really long time. Let me tell you.
You don't say.
Yeah, I know how you feel. I'm an orphan too.
She's gonna lean over and like pat you on the thigh, like, yeah, we're buddies now. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome on board, fellow orphan.
The three of us, it kind of aged out. Winnie's a special case, I think it's the term we're using.
Yeah. They threw her out.
Miss Harley told me I was special every day.
You are very special. That is true.
You are.
So, Mrs. Jones, whatever. Bethany's going to come back in. And Emily's going to come in behind her. And she's going to be, again, very prim and proper and stand kind of to the front of the table. And she's going to say, all right, we are going to start with two rules. The first rule the mayor has put into place, which is none of the books are allowed to leave the reading room. And she's going to be scanning everyone's face as she says that.
Eyes glazed.
Flynn is like, easy.
What books?
Tasha, pocketbook.
Pocketsand.
Mrs. Grace has been kind enough. Oh, sorry. Mrs. Grimness Grace has been kind enough to provide an extensive amount of her collection for us to use in your studies. You should be very grateful to her. And as such, you should show her respect. She seemed very worried about the state of these books. There was some sort of past trauma.
It's okay. That wasn't real. She just did that with her mouth.
And a whole lot of pancake.
And a lot of pancake.
Yeah. Emily's gonna kind of like cover her mouth and like try to suppress the giggles, but Gail Grell, which is her full name by the way, is just going to be cackling with laughter. Bethany's not gonna react at all. She's just going to wait for you to be finished. The second rule is that you will either study or make yourselves useful. Any questions?
Study what?
Emily's going to pick up here. That's what we wanted to talk to you all about. We want you to take this time and this place to pursue your passions. Think about what you'd like to do with your lives and whatever interests you.
As she says that, she just props a hurdy-gurdy on the table. Just like, was for you to be finished.
That's what we're here to do. We want to help you reach your idea of excellence. So...
So great.
And then Gail's gonna be like, that thing's like the size that I am.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but what if you are not good at studying and you're not useful? Then what?
Well, we have ways of making you useful. That does sound very threatening.
Yeah.
Step in immediately and be like, no.
I saw the sign.
Stop it!
Mr. Page is like, Mr. Page is like, hold on, I'll take care of that sign. Like, you see him like, karate chop it at the base, like.
Emily's going to come forward to kind of like tempt that over, be like, well, we would like to be helpful to the town if that's the case. Because Jadzia has been kind enough to provide us with this building and the books and everything we need, we've offered to let us be her community outreach. So we will be taking on tasks to help the town, and we would really appreciate it if you would help us with that, if you aren't studying at the time.
You know me, I'm always studying. Can't help it.
I would be happy to help us. Thanks for providing some of her own personal library. That's a very exciting opportunity.
So I think it might be best to show you to your rooms for the night. This is Bethany. And tomorrow morning, oh wait, no, sorry. It's morning right now. Ah, I had this time in my flies. Notes. I swear to God. So you guys just had breakfast. So it's like, we'll show you to your rooms.
That's true.
And then you can decide whether you'd like to peruse the library and talk to Emily about your studies and your goals, or you can help Leroy. And she's going to turn to the cook who is at the counter eating a plate of bacon, because no one touched the bacon, and he's going to eat all that bacon.
Thank you for breakfast, sir.
He's just going to kind of like give like a firm little nod, like, thank you. All right. And with that, I think she would show you each to your rooms, and I'm wondering if that's a good place to stop. How do you guys feel?
You have the power over this.
That's true.
You can't. Every time Jason says that, and you're like, no, we could have gone longer. We could go longer.
I don't want to go more.
Am I be late?
I just saw a baby in the background.
It's true. It might be late.
What time is it? Let's see. Oh, man, it's there's just a floating baby in the background. I think this might be a good time to wrap. If you look in Jamie's background, her husband keeps holding her baby up.
Oh. Mildly spooky.
Like a haunted ghost baby. So
Yeah, it's ghost baby.
This is a little bit short, but I think it's a good place. Like, I think we got to meet everybody, and
clearly
I have some voice acting to practice.
No, dude, you're awesome. Oh my gosh, I love this.
I love everyone's characters.
I love this so much. I love our group of little weirdos. We have such a great like dynamic already. It's just,
I'm picking up some Breakfast Club vibes.
You guys are
awesome. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. You're all doing so great. Like,
good job.
The second that I was like, oh, describe your bunks, and you each took that and was like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna describe my bunks. You guys are really good.
Fun way to have us describe our characters, mm-hmm, instead of just saying what we look like. Mm-hmm. So, good. Yeah.
Your living space.
That's really good.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And now you're each going to have your own whole space, like a whole room to yourselves.
Except Grimby.
I might
end up.
And Winnie probably won't stay in your room.
I don't know. Maybe Flynn's gonna make his room like a studio or something, like a little concert hall, or like a little dance room, but still live with Grimby.
Poor Grimby, like that's just his life now.
You
just
have
like constant hurdy gurdy.
Performance space.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just gonna basically live in the library, the reading room now. So like. It's...
And I mean, I guess Winnie's room is empty too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Well, I gotta figure out how Bethany and Winnie are gonna get along.
They
That's
will
gonna
not.
Be a tough one.
They're not going to get along.
I need to realize, I need to figure out how she's going to deal with you not getting along. So I'm glad we're ending it here so I can think about that.
Now, I think it's going to be a good dynamic.
Now that we've broke the ice on the Mrs. Jones thing, now I just need to not like just kind of run through a couple bars of the song anytime you say your name.
Yeah.
We're going to have to probably go by Beth anymore.
Flinster must really love Winnie because like she's so like obvious about everything that it lets him get away with stuff.
You really go under the radar when like...
Yeah.
He's very grateful.